very good, so I got them things. And I asked you, she sent me down to the vault. I've been in the vault downstairs. She's got toilet paper in it. She's afraid there's going to be a shortage of it if the world gets any worse. And so we got 9,000 shit rolls of it down there in the vault. What do you say, Peg? She says, quit lying, but it's true. She had me buy all of it. What's one thing we're not going to run out of? Okay, now, how you been?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right, all told.
Good.
It's been kind of crazy, but, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes, so.
Let me see if I get you better in the other ear. See, I can't hold the right hand, though. Hello.
You there?
There, yeah, I'm here, yeah. It's better, this one. What are we up to today?
Well, what am I up to, or what are you and I up to?
I'm up to 175 pounds. Or down to that.
We were right at about the time that you went under the house with a 32 caliber pistol.
That's been a while.
That was...
He wasn't under there.
No, he wasn't under there. And
Grandma, she went to town because she's afraid you're going to get shot through the floor.
And we got your business cards from Pam's wedding. So we're in about your early 40s.
But I don't remember.
Yeah, no, your grandpa.
Oh, my grandpa. Oh, well, I remember him. He was a cut-up-y. We had a lot of fun with him. I helped him do a lot of things. I mean, cut wood for people with his cross-cut saw. And, well, see, my great-great-grandpa was still alive when I was born, but I was about 5 years old or something like that, whatever. He died, but Biddy Grandma, as we call her, because she was less than 4.5 foot tall.
Your
great-grandpa, let's see, he liked to get a joke on somebody. He liked to... Well, he had a small farm, and he farmed, and he worked for other farmers. He shucked corn when it was corn time here, and up north, it was shucked corn up northern Illinois before they did in southern, so he'd go up there and stay for 2-3 weeks, or maybe sometimes a month. But he was a heck of a good old boy. He died when I was 19, but I had... just learned all of his tricks and things that he'd done, and we lived out at Patoka and had a cellar, had a basement under the house, and we had I don't know what the heck you called it now, a root cellar for to put stuff in to keep from the winter, and Mom, she screamed, said, "Turvin, get in here. Your dad's acting up." He come out of the cellar with a carrot hanging out of his fly. It looked like she thought it was something else. she had a fit. I remember him doing that. But he was the one that him and I cleaned copper cars out of with limestone in it, or what was left in it, or coal. And carried it back and forth to his house, my house, Uncle Ralph's house, and anybody else that wanted something like that. He'd get that and further and put limestone on their yard for them for so much just to make a few bucks. Well, he never owned a car. Uncle Ralph and Dad had cars out on the farm. They lived out on the farm, and it was as soon as they got old enough to get one, and worked enough to buy one, because I don't think there's much on driver's license or stuff like back then. So, I mean, he'd go to town with them, or else he'd go to town in a spring wagon, a horse-drawn wagon with spring seats in it. Of course, he was getting pretty old, and it was before Social Security, so he drew what you call an old age pension. The state paid him a little bit of money for that.
What other jokes did he pull on people?
Oh, he done a lot of things. Crazy stuff. I mean, one of the farmers he was working for had another man that was helping there too, and he just was a little bit slow. He couldn't catch on to things as much as he. Granddad caught him milking the cow, and so he got him a stick through a hole in the ground in the barn and poked the cow. The cow knocked over the milk belt and got her bucket and spilled the milk. That boy come out of there just having a fit because it did that. And of course, he didn't know that Granddad had poked him with a stick, but he said, "Let me just do that." He said, "I sat down the counter, it's not fine." He said, "There wasn't nothing wrong with him." He said, "You must be pensioner." And he said, "No, I'm not." But anyhow, he sat down and started milking again, and Grandpa goes out and gets his stick and pokes the cow again, and over goes the milk bucket. They said, "Well, our boss is going to give me a hit for not getting any milk tonight." So he does things like that, just torment them. I probably told you that we had a four-room house, and we got a chance to rent two rooms out. So Dad said, "Well, we'll just close those doors there and lock that, and I'll fix that so you can have two rooms, and we'll have two rooms." And there's no bathroom because we just had a sewer in town. We did have water. I think we had running water at that time. But we rented the two rooms over there to a family about like our family with two kids, and he worked for an oil company, and so we didn't have a kitchen farm really. So Dad went and he bought two camping stoves that burned white gas. You had to put the gas in there and then put the pressure, and it made a nice hot fire and everything. And a little bit dangerous, but you just had to be careful. Cooked their meals in their far side, and my mom used that two-burner stove in there for ours, and had a little oven that sat on there so you could bake something. It wasn't the best idea, but that's the way it was. It was made to go on a kerosene stove, but it was harder to regulate that gas one.
Wow. That's crazy. Did any of the oil wells ever blow up?
Oh yeah, they had some. They had some. Well, that's how the oil field got started. They was drilling, and the driller got drunk. And he drilled too deep. He wasn't supposed to do it yet. They were doing these experimental drills and go down and check the what was there and how there and this and that, and then they'd go out and lease all the ground that they could. They found some another place, well, they'd go out and lease it. Well, they was testing this well out there. It's called Ed Tate Number One. There's a tombstone out there with that name on it. That was a test well, and the driller who was in charge of it, the roustabouts didn't have, they was there working, but they was doing what he told them. Keep drilling. He got drunk and wasn't able to order to do what his job, and the thing blew. It blew in. It came in, I mean, with terrific pressure, and I knocked the tipple off of the top of the derrick. It came up with so that's how it all ended. Boy, I mean, the place went crazy when they had oil coming in like that. Well, everybody jumped in to buy leases and get for different oil companies, and it was a mess. There was somebody at the courthouse all the time recording all that stuff.
What year was that? You remember?
39, 38, 39. Hello, I pushed the wrong button.
Pushed the wrong button.
Yeah,
all right.
There's three buttons on this phone. I put a phone on. This is an old time phone. It runs on bailing wire out to the country and everything. It doesn't have lines, you know, regular telephone lines like everybody else. That's the way our phone was in olden. When I was a kid.
With baling wire.
Well, some of it was run with baling wire, some was run with barbed wire, like they have put on cattle. I mean, you know, if a pole gets knocked down and the old boy just go out there and fix it, he'd just hang the wire on the fence post and down to the next pit pole and tie it in there, and that's the way it worked. Really?
That's crazy.
Little what?
I said that's crazy.
Crazy? Well, he is. That's the word. He was on a shoestring. He started a phone company and ended up being Jerry Sinclair's father-in-law. And Jerry Sinclair and him got together and got some government grants and built a new office. Start putting up better lines and everything. Oh, about 20 years, they got it in really good shape. But that's the way it started.
Was off of barbed wire.
Yeah, well, yes. And he had lines up, but if one had gotten knocked down, he didn't have any more lines and good wire, and he didn't have any money to buy any, so he just took a piece of the fence down, so almost underneath there anyhow, and just tied the phone on one end of the fence and one on the other end of the fence where the pole was broken. Boy, it was staticky. You couldn't hardly hear, but you could get through. Water. Said it was good enough for a baby less than a year old to drink, so it had to be good for that. But anyhow, I got that done. So I got to hauling a little more dirt in there, and Jerry Hoseapple's son, Jeff, Parish boy, they were, oh, I don't know, 6 or 8 years old, someplace in that one. They come working, play in your dirt, and I said, yeah, you can play in my dirt, and I don't care, I'm going to spread it all out anyhow. Man, they just jump into a pile of dirt and work it over, and next week I'd bring another, and they did that, and I was working up the toke at a dairy farm, and doing some little work up there for that guy, and I told him, you know, I'd like to have a load of that bedding you got in there. And I said, well, take my truck, my dump truck, and drive it home tonight. When you come back tomorrow, your truck will be here. And so I got a big grain bed on it. And so we loaded up a truckload of that sawdust that they bed those cows in. So naturally, it had cow manure in it. So I took it home and backed in there like that, started unloading, and here come them two boys. Said, well, can we play in your dirt, Mr. Schaumert? Yeah, you can. Jump right in there, boys. I didn't tell them what it was. And they jumped into it. Their mothers about killed me that night, because, I mean, they didn't know what they were in, and they were the stinkingest mess you ever saw. They had to hose them down outside before they let them go in. I told that 2 weeks ago when I hear it. Granddad was so this guy, lost his wife, and he just was so lonesome. He said he just didn't know what to do. He said, well, why don't you get one? He said, from Sears Roebuck. And he said, why for you to get a wife from Sears Roebuck? Yeah, he said, look at all these pretty girls in here. He said, they're young ones and older ones or whatever you want. just send them a letter and they'll send you a bride. Well, my gosh, he said, well, how much, as long as it's not too much, that you don't have to pay for it until she gets here and you're satisfied. Oh, boy, so he done that. Got Got it, found out one day she was going to be in there, so granddad and his friends, they went up to Boulder and dressed up one of the guys like a woman and put her on the train, stopped there in Boulder, and they went on the shack, and she got off there, and oh, he was just thrilled to death, and he's trying to get her in the buggy, and she got in the buggy, and he's loading her luggage and everything, and she slapped them horses and off fell around, and the bride ran away. He said, I don't understand that at all. I said, I was a nice looking lady, and I was going to be real good to her, but she just ran off. So that's the kind of things he done. He was a model fella.
High school, though, you know, you guys wouldn't remember. Jerry probably would. You didn't go to Salem High School, did you?
No.
Well, maybe you wouldn't then. But old Harvey Miller, did you know?
Oh, Harvey. Yeah, I remember Harvey.
Well, Harvey taught school for 150 years at least. I mean, he taught people that died in the Civil War. He still teaching them just a few years ago. That's how old he was. Well, let's see. It was my freshman year or sophomore year. He was my physiology teacher. And he was on the third floor. And poor old Harvey, he had no control whatsoever over the kids. They'd just do whatever they wanted to do. And he'd almost beg them to behave and do what they were supposed to do, you know. He just had no control.
Oh,
one day we was in class, he called on me to read out of our physiology
book. Time.
And I said, oh, Harvey, and it was spring, and we had all the windows raised in the classroom to get a little air. And I always set my back of the room, and I always set my window so I could get air. And he called on me, wanted me to read, and I said, oh, Harvey, I don't think I really care to read. Thanks. I called him Harv. We all did, yeah. we didn't call him Mr. Miller. We called him Harv.
Harv, oh no.
And I said, Harvey Miller. Harv Miller.
Oh.
He taught science. Physiology.
Listen, that man had problems, or that wife he had was the meanest sucker that ever lived.
Oh, Harvey's wife?
Yeah.
I didn't know her.
Oh, God.
She was.
But he called on me and wanted me to read, and I said, oh, Harvey, I don't think. I said, I've kind of got a sore throat, and I can't already talk today. And he said, now, come on, Dean, I want you to read. I said, nah, I don't think. I just threw my book right out the window. Well, it was just about time for the period to end. And when that bell rang, I mean, I went running down and out the back door and got that book and run like the dickens to get to my next class. We only had 5 minutes, if you remember. And Bert Gum was the principal or superintendent. I thought, oh, God, if he turns me into Bert, I'll be in Sing Sing for sure. There's no doubt in my mind. But I thought,
you got any... What about anybody else that's about your and Jerry's age? You know anyone that did anything crazy at any point in life?
A lot of stuff I just can't tell you.
Well, you can tell me, you just don't tell me the name.
Oh, I just can't do that.
Why?
Well, I just can't do that. You might think that I wasn't a good old grandpa.
There is nothing that's going to change my opinion of you. Trust me.
We never did anything any bad. Never did. We didn't kill nobody.
Sure. Well, we had an uncle.
We never robbed any banks.
We had a great grandpa that was a bank robber or a murderer or something. Great uncle.
You did?
Wasn't there a guy, Charlie or something?
Well, my grandpa's brother killed a guy in St. Louis for spitting on his floor.
nobody had it coming. He shouldn't have been on the floor.
What do you, like a double barrel shotgun to this guy?
They just shoved him out the front door and got him out on the porch. He broke both burgers.
Because he didn't want to get it on his floor?
He said, I told you not to spit on my floor. Mabe, you got to clean that up. Well, Mabe was his wife. He didn't want that guy spitting on his floor. They were playing poker. They was all drunk. He went to Menard Penitentiary.
For how many years?
I don't know. I wasn't even born yet. That before my time.
10 years, probably?
I don't know. I was scared to ask. I was scared he might shoot me.
Oh, my. Oh, so you, so he got out of prison, though?
Oh, yeah.
He didn't serve life?
No. Well, back then, you do a lot of shit. You can't do anymore.
Like kill a guy for spitting on your floor?
Well, you shouldn't spit on people's floors. Somebody spit on my floor, I'd be mad. Yeah.
Did he just miss the spittoon?
No, he's drunk, you know. He was drinking that old homemade brew, and, you know. During the Prohibition days, back in the 20s.
Gotcha.
Long time before I was even born.
Yeah.
Well, on Saturday nights, back in them days, they used to choose sides and just fight. That was their entertainment. See who could whip the other side, you know. Have you ever heard of the Sheltons, Shelton Gang, down in Buddy Williamson County?
No.
Oh, you need to read that book. Blackie Harris, have you ever heard of him? Oh, there were some mean people down there in Southern Illinois.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
When was this?
Back in the 20s.
Really?
30s, yeah.
The Sheltons and who?
Blackie Harris.
Blackie Harris. What do they do?
Everything. Everything.
Just kill people?
Yep. Everything.
Rob banks and stuff?
Make moonshine and all that stuff, which was against the law.
Sheltons?
Get you the book. Get you a book. It's called Bloody Williamson County. And read that.
Bloody Williamson County.
Yeah, that's down around Heron, down around Heron, Heron, Illinois. You know where Heron's at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Buddy Williamson County. And,
cheers.
Yeah. Blackie Harris, he was from down around Fairfield. And there was the Shelton Gang, and the other gang was the Burger Gang, B-E-R-G-E-R.
Oh, Burger, like
burger.
A bird.
B-E-R-G-E-R. And I think they hung him, the main guy. Hung him in Murfreesboro in front of the courthouse.
Really?
Yeah.
Just built up a hangman's platform and just hung him.
Well, you know, they tried him and all that, but
when was this?
I'm thinking that might have been the 30s, I'm not sure. I read all them books out there. It's very interesting. And it's true. And it's, see, back in them days, Southern Illinois, the main income back in them was coal mines.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they used to go on the strike.
Sure.
Well, the coal mine owners, which were old crooks, they'd bring in what they call scabs. The union guys call them scabs. And they'd take their jobs because the union guys, you know, they wanted this, wanted that. Well, hell, they killed each other.
Oh, yeah. Shoot them for taking the job.
You need to read that.
What's it called?
Bloody Williamson.
Huh?
Bloody
Williamson County.
Now, did any of that stuff happen up in Marion?
In Marion what?
Marion County?
We used to have coal mines. We had one in Odin before I was born. We had one in Sandoval and then in Walmack. Well, back in 47, I think it was, big explosion in Walmack killed a bunch of guys. Some of my little schoolmates' dads was killed in that coal mine. And I remember that because I was over at my grandpa and grandma Wiggins' house when that happened. And I was just a little kid. Well, I was 7 years old. And I still remember that. I remember Dickie Jackson's dad was killed. He was a kid that I went to school with.
Oh, wow.
And a bunch of people was killed in that.
How many people died?
Well, I'm thinking like 240-something, but I'm not sure.
240 people, wow.
I'm thinking that, Lance, but it could be wrong.
How big were the towns back then?
Well, Walmack's a little town. Well, Walmart's probably 700 or 800 people or less.
Even back then?
Get you the book. Get you a book. It's called Bloody Williamson County. And read that.
Bloody Williamson County.
Yeah. That's down around Heron.